Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DeBono.
Hello, Ben DeBono.
Hello, Matt Anderson. Welcome to the second episode.
I almost forgot Sci-Fi the title Christian. Of this one.
Again?
We do two, and I almost said the other one.
Yeah, that one works so well.
And I almost said, welcome to the Rebel Underground.
Oh, well, that would work because we are the Rebel Underground bringing you the Sci-Fi Christian.
That's true. So, hello. Week two. We had some good responses from our first week at the
Sci-Fi
Christian.
Yeah.
Some comments from people that we've never even heard of, but never heard from before.
Yeah, that's true. And we will get to those because those actually have to do with our main topic once we get there.
Absolutely.
We have a fantastic show planned for you tonight.
I am actually very excited.
I am. Should we just say what we're talking about?
Well, yeah. One of the first ideas I thought of when we were first planning out the Sci-Fi Christian was this topic.
Yes, which is extraterrestrials and the Bible.
Yeah. So how exactly
do they mix? Can they mix?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out today.
We'll find out. We have titled this episode, I Want to Believe.
In honor of one of our favorite TV shows of all time.
The X-Files.
The X-Files.
You may remember that slogan from the poster that is hanging in Mulder's office at the FBI. Correct. That is one of the coolest posters ever made.
I'm surprised you can't really find it around these days.
You can get it on eBay.
Yeah, eBay, but not. It used to be available at stores.
I would really like to get a copy because I love it.
It would look good here in Rebel Underground Studios.
Oh, we need it. It's got to happen.
Okay.
It's got to happen.
All right.
We will work on that very soon. So should we, before we get to our main topic, though, we've got a few news items. Should we hit it to Sci-Fi News?
Only if you have that sound effect.
I have a new transition sound this week.
Ah, what about R2-D2?
It's too short.
Okay, fine.
This is better. Ready?
Yep.
Going into Sci-Fi News. And he can sing along, too, like this. It's time for Sci-Fi News.
Win.
Isn't that awesome?
Right now.
Yes. So, we got three items for you today.
Let us talk about the long one first.
I was thinking we'd do the short ones first.
Okay.
We just never agree on
rock, scissors. Ready?
Okay.
One, two, three. Rock, I win. All right. And so for our first item today, we're going to be talking about J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams actually did an extensive interview on several of his projects last week. And the reason this caught my eye and yours, Matt, is that he talked a great deal about Fringe. And actually, the things that he brought up were some of the very things we talked about last week when we brought up Fringe on the Sci-Fi Christian.
It's amazing. Do you think he actually listened to the Sci-Fi Christian?
Absolutely. We are show prep for J.J. Abrams.
J.J. Abrams, if you're out there, we'd love to have you on as a guest host.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you can acknowledge that we are the source you used for this interview.
So he didn't just talk about Fringe, though.
No, but should we get to the Fringe stuff first?
Yeah, go ahead.
So one of the things we talked about last week on the Sci-Fi Christian was one of our frustrations with Fringe is that it's been a weird mix of great mythology episodes and pretty so-so standalone episodes. And J.J. Abrams acknowledged that. He acknowledged this week that the standalone episodes suck.
Well, wait.
Vindication!
I don't think he said sucked, did he?
He said that they were very weak. Well, you talk for a second, and I will find the quote.
Okay. He also brought up the upcoming Star Trek sequel, and he talked about how he doesn't quite know yet if he'll be directing, and he's waiting to see the screenplay, which isn't finished yet, which is being worked on by Damon Lindelof, who was one of the other creators of Lost, and then the two guys who work on Fringe, and I can't remember their name, like Robert
Orkrey and somebody Kurtz. Kurtzman.
Alex Kurtzman, yeah. So they are right now wrapping up the screenplay, and once J.J. Abrams has a chance to read it, then he's going to decide if he wants to direct it. And they also are still trying to decide if they're going to do it in 3D.
Yes.
I hope they don't.
Me too. I'm not a fan. No, 3D is worthless.
I don't think it's worthless. I see that it is kind of visually cool sometimes, but I don't think it adds enough to it that I want to pay so much extra.
Exactly. I think the only movie that I've really enjoyed 3D on was Avatar because I really used it well in that movie. But most movies, it's just a gimmick and it doesn't really add any value.
Exactly. 3D conversion is horrible. If you set out to shoot it in 3D, there's going to be a little bit more benefit to it. But overall, I don't think that 3D is something that I hope stays around.
Exactly. Well, I can't find the quote.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
That's okay.
But he did acknowledge that the standalone episodes were by far the weakest part of the show and were kind of dragging it down. and that starting about halfway through season two, they made a choice to really start going with more mythology episodes, or at least inject more mythology even into the standalone episodes.
Are you sure? Are you not thinking possibly of when he talked about his canceled series, Undercovers?
No, 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 because he talked about that here. I'm going to find the quote.
Because Undercovers was interesting. He had mentioned that he takes total responsibility for it being canceled.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, and he said that he tried to do a show where it wasn't so mythologically deep and more anybody could come on and just enjoy it. Excuse me. And he said that that was not what people wanted and that because of that, it got canceled, and he totally takes responsibility.
Yeah, because standalone episodes are boring.
Yeah, he said it was too simple and that people didn't feel like they wanted to invest in it.
No one likes it.
Yeah, there was nothing really to invest in.
Least of all me.
What other – he also talked about Super 8, didn't he?
Yeah. I don't know what he said about it. Let's see.
I think that the only thing he said is that we might be able to see a trailer.
Oh, yeah, which will be cool. I'm excited for Super 8. I think it's going to be a good Cloverfield-type movie. I enjoyed Cloverfield.
Do you have any? I like Cloverfield. Yeah. Do you have any idea what Super 8 is about?
Aliens.
Are you positive about that?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know what it's about.
Because there was a thing in the train that was trying to get out in the first trailer.
They've released almost nothing about it. But the first... Yeah, so the first trailer came out, but there's a new one that will be more detailed coming out in March.
Okay.
Did you find anything?
Here it is.
Okay.
Abrams points out... I'm reading from fringebloggers.com, I think. Okay. I don't know if that's their actual website, but it's a blog, Fringe Bloggers, that I subscribe to. Abrams points out that Fringe's standalone fare wasn't working, and embracing the seriable aspects of the story has helped the show flourish. Quote, it was a realization that the ideas we discussed at the beginning of the series included a woman who was experimented on when she was a young kid, who works with a man who may or may not be from here, and a father who may know a lot more about an alternate universe and a brewing war. For us not to embrace what the show was really doing, and for the show to perhaps fail, would have meant failing on someone else's terms and with the network's remarkable support. If this show is going to be the best version of the show, it has to be what the show is and not some lame...
He said lame.
Completely standalone thing that doesn't embrace a larger mythology. It's not that you can't enjoy the show, well, maybe it is, and be intrigued by the larger mythology and understand it, but it is a show that rewards regular viewers.
That's pretty interesting. So it's
awesome.
Right from when they started
Fringe... Vindication!
Right from when they started Fringe, is he saying that they knew all along that... Olivia was going to have been experimented on, and
that's maybe the implication. I'd maybe want to hear it a bit more spelled out before I believe that this was the plan all along.
Yeah, because it felt like some of that, even though it was interesting, some of it felt like it was added on in the middle.
Definitely, and the whole thing about Peter that he alluded to, which I won't restate.
No, they actually set the stage for that early on.
That was planned all along?
I do. I really think so.
Cool. So should we get to the next next news item? Two shorter items.
The first one is for all of the Sarah Connor Chronicles fans.
Or the 300 fans.
I haven't seen 300.
She was in 300. Lena Headey, I believe I'm pronouncing her name wrong, but oh well, is going to be playing a villain in the upcoming Judge Dredd movie. Matt, do you know anything about Judge Dredd?
I know almost nothing other than there was a bad movie in the 90s.
Yes, but it's actually based on a comic series, I believe, called something something AD.
Dredd?
Yeah. No, it's not Dredd. It's like a year AD.
Like Judge Dredd AD?
No, it's not that. It's like 2100 AD.
Really?
The comic's not called Judge Dredd.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that. I think it's by DC, though, isn't it?
Dark Horse. It's not Vertigo.
My bad.
Yeah. Hopefully, I have high hopes for this movie. You know, it looks
pretty
cool.
Who's playing the lead?
Carl Urban, who was in Lord of the Rings.
And he was in Star Trek.
Yes, you are correct. He was Bones. Yep. He was really good in Star Trek.
Yeah, he was.
Better than he was in Lord of the Rings, so I enjoyed him there, too.
I don't even remember who he was in Lord of the Rings.
He was Theodred.
Did not help.
Do you remember Theoden from the second movie, The King, who was like, oh, I'm all possessed and insane, and then Gandalf comes and he beats up Wormtongue and then he rescues Theoden?
I do not.
Dude, it's like a major part of the movie.
Is that the human that kind of turned bad and then turned good but then died?
Yeah.
Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, the king.
So his brother?
No, his nephew is Theodred.
I thought he had a brother that came in like the last movie.
No, you're thinking of Boromir. That's not who I'm talking about.
Didn't his brother come?
But we're not talking about Boromir. We're talking about Theoden, who's the king of Rohan.
Right. Oh, yeah, sure. Middle Earth.
You don't know anything of what I'm talking about.
No, it's Middle Earth, right?
Yeah, okay. That's like the name of the entire world. That doesn't mean that you actually understand the character I'm referencing.
No, I remember with the trees.
Your Lord of the Rings knowledge is absolutely pathetic, and I am ashamed to call you my co-host now.
No, I mean, I know a lot about it.
You do?
Yeah, there's hobbits.
You don't remember this major plot point from Two Towers.
Oh, Two Towers is my favorite of the three.
And you don't remember it, apparently. You remember Eowyn?
Eowyn is the girl, right?
Yes, and the battle for Helm's Deep.
The war with all the,
you know,
the,
what
we're with done. The, with we're the done. Goblins.
We're moving on. This is pathetic. It's pathetic, and I'm ashamed to know you right now.
Let's talk about the final item.
The final item is that Pirates of the Caribbean 5 has been announced.
It's amazing because 4 hasn't come out yet, but they're so confident that Disney has now greenlit the 5th movie, and they still are thinking about possibly filming 5 and 6 at the same time.
I am not excited about this news.
I'm excited. I mean, as franchises go, it lost all momentum after the first movie. But it's enjoyable, and the kids like it.
Okay, question.
Let me just say this. Okay. It's good, clean fun, basically. And Johnny Depp is really fun to watch
on screen. What was enjoyable about the third movie?
I enjoyed it. I like adventure.
There was nothing good in that movie. It was the biggest waste of time. It was 3 hours long.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Is Pirates, are they considered sci-fi? I don't think they are.
There's supernatural elements in the series.
Okay, that was a good save. But otherwise, pirates are totally not sci-fi.
It's genre fiction, dude.
Maybe it is genre fiction.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's fantasy adventure. There's
fantasy
dead people,
adventure. Now you're
zombies.
Talking.
There's underwater zombies in the first movie.
And now that I think about it, a lot of them
and
come
the fountain
back to life.
A Fountain of Life is the subject of the new one. I am kind of excited for the new movie because Ian McShane is playing Blackbeard, and he is a fantastic actor. And so I think that they also have a new director, which will be good. And Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley are not in it, which will be good.
I hope somebody fights on a giant wheel again.
No, no. Here's what the new movie has to be successful.
Okay.
Under 2.5 hours.
Sure, I'm fine with that. I like 2-hour movies.
Yeah, and all of the pirate movies so far have been way too long.
Even the first one?
Yeah, it was 2.5 hours.
I liked it.
I liked it too, but it was too long. It needed to be shorter by about a half hour. The second one was so-so, and it was too long. And the third one, I wanted to gouge my eyes out with a dull spoon.
Ooh, yuck.
So I am semi-optimistic about the fourth movie. If the fourth movie is awesome, I will be excited about this. But as it stands now, I have liked exactly 1 out of 3 Pirates of the Caribbean movies and hated with an intense, fiery passion 1 of the 3 out of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. So I am not excited about the prospect of having to sit through a fifth movie.
I have seen one, maybe a handful of times. Yeah. I've seen 2 and 3 only once. So
me too.
I would like to see them again.
I will never watch the third movie again.
That's fair enough.
I hated it. I hated it. I hated it.
Should we now get on to what I'm really excited about?
Should we get to the main event?
I would love to. Let's hear some music.
Let's hit it.
Oh, wait. So you play this every time?
Yeah.
Wait, don't. This is good news, though.
It's time for the main topic.
No. I like it's time for sci-fi news.
Yeah, that's cool.
Let's use that song for the sci-fi news, and we'll come up with a new song for topic.
Okay. But
Ben,
there's limited amount. We could use the Firefly theme song because I love it.
Ben.
Yes, sir.
Now, today we are, as we talked about earlier, we're discussing aliens and their possibility of existence.
Yippers.
And as I was preparing, we prepared individually.
Yes.
And as I was preparing, I thought, there's no way Ben's going to say it is possible. And it turns out we have a debate on our hands today.
Yeah, what I did was I outlined some potential problems.
Okay.
But ultimately, I think you cannot say that aliens are incompatible with the Bible.
I have a 4-point...
Now, we do have some listener feedback. Should we read that first?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I have a 4-point argument on why I think it's not likely that aliens exist. So go ahead and read our comment.
We might not disagree so much.
Yeah.
We'll get to, at the end, I'm not going to share what I actually believe or what I want to believe. We'll save those till the end.
Got it.
We'll keep it just to, is it biblically, could it coexist with the biblical worldview or not? So listener Kobe writes in on Facebook.
Hi Kobe. Hi Kobe. He's my friend.
He's not my friend. But maybe he will be now because he's a huge fan of the Sci-Fi Christian. Only one episode in.
Yeah, welcome
to the Sci-Fi Christian, Kobe.
Welcome.
So Kobe says, love the topic and I am excited to hear all about it. I love this discussion. I would love to believe in aliens, but I just don't have any biblical ground to back it up. So it is not possible in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But there is nothing in the Bible that says there isn't aliens either. So who knows? The truth is out there. Kobe, you're nice apparently fan. An X-Files fan.
Yeah, very nice.
I'm impressed. I love all the X-Files references we're getting in today.
Yeah, I know, it's good.
Yeah.
So how do you want to take this? Since we have some, we both have our own points. Do you want to go first so I can try to attack you?
Well, how about you outline your problems, because I've got my potential problems here as well. I'll see if I agree with you on whether or not those are real problems or
not. You're saying my problems on why I think aliens probably don't exist.
Yeah. Yeah. So give me those first.
First of all, I just want to start by saying I can't take a firm stance because, like Kobe mentioned, the Bible isn't clear. I mean, it doesn't exclude the possibility.
Yep.
And it doesn't say, I mean, I guess it doesn't really say one way or another. So anything is possible, technically.
Yeah.
But after careful study of the scripture, I have come to say that it's not very likely.
There are some issues.
And here's the reasons why.
Okay.
Number one. If you look at the Bible and the story God's telling, Earth is the focus of God's plan. Or Earth is a focus of God's plan. Maybe not the focus because, you know, of course there's salvation and humans and whatnot.
Okay.
Relationship.
I feel a rebuttal coming on, but keep going.
Let me just move through these and then I'll hear what you have to say because they build upon each other.
Okay.
Number two, Earth existed before all the other heavenly bodies. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Ooh, big rebuttal on that one.
Okay.
That's not an accurate reading of scripture.
Number three. Number three. This is undisputable.
Okay.
Earth was the site of Jesus' death and resurrection.
That is a fact.
Fact.
Unless there was some weird parallel universe thing taking place, but that seems unlikely.
And finally, number four. Earth is the centerpiece of the new creation described in Revelation 21.
I'm not sure I agree.
You're going to have to get your Bible out and prove me wrong then.
All right. So you made 4 points, and I agree with one of them for sure.
Great.
Which is that Jesus lived and died on Earth.
I have notes about each of these points, so I'm prepared to fight you.
Okay. Well, I, sir, am ready to take on your fight, and I'm going to rebut them one at a time. So your first one was?
Earth is the focus of God's plan.
You said Earth is the focus of God's story that is telling throughout the Bible. Correct?
The story takes place on Earth.
This story does. How do you know God is not telling more than one story, and one of them takes place on the planet Xenon in another galaxy?
I do have a reason that goes along with one of my other points.
Okay.
So do you want me to just bring it up ahead
of time? Yeah, bring it up now.
Here's one of my main arguments, and I'm just going to get right to it.
Okay.
All of creation, well, let's talk about humans. Humans have fallen and we need salvation.
Correct.
And we have found salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus.
Correct.
It also says in the Bible that Jesus has died once for all.
Correct.
Therefore, if there are aliens on a different world, they would probably not be privy to the gospel message.
That would be an issue.
And it's unlikely, not impossible, but unlikely that Jesus had an incarnation on every planet because it says he died once for all.
The implication of that verse could be for all humans.
But it's not. It says all.
Humans is implied there. It's speaking to a human audience.
So what you're saying then is that in order for there to have aliens exist somewhere is that Jesus would have to have had an incarnation on each planet and died for each of the different species.
I have this one down as an issue as well that I see with the existence of aliens.
So,
but that would be where you would have to go to solve that problem.
So when we go back to that first point of Earth is the focus of God's plan, with the fact that Jesus came here, the whole story is here. I know you're saying it's our story, but yeah. It's really the story of all of Salvation.
But you don't know
all
that.
Of Salvation.
You don't know that because, again, I would say that I think that when it says all, it's a human speaking to a human audience if theoretically there are aliens.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't necessarily mean that all includes aliens because all wouldn't have been thought of by the author with that audience. In the original context, it would have been written to humans.
Yes, that's
not
true.
To extraterrestrials.
That's true. That's true. But God didn't inspire the author, so he might have wanted to stick in there for everybody else. Just so you know, I'm talking specifically about humans. Or if there were aliens, you could have said, Jesus came here.
Because God always does that really a lot in Scripture. He makes things just crystal clear for us, doesn't he?
I mean, it would have been nice.
Not so much.
I'm going to find some verses here.
My point is that if theoretically there's aliens on another planet,
mm-hmm.
you don't know that God isn't telling another story and doesn't also have his focus on that planet.
I mean, that would be interesting, but there's no biblical evidence about
for
that.
It or against it.
Well, listen to this. Here we go. 1 Peter.
Your evidence is circumstantial.
1 Peter 3:18 out of the ESV.
Yes, sir.
For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God.
Who sins,
being
man?
Put to death.
Who sins?
It doesn't say even if
human
all, it
sins.
Say, no,
human
it says
sins
suffered once for sins.
For human sins is
you're
the implication.
A word. You're actually taking it out of context by adding in your own interpretation.
Okay, that's true. But what I'm saying is that if aliens existed, then it doesn't necessarily mean that Jesus died for their sins. We wouldn't even know that the alien race has fallen necessarily. Maybe they avoided the fall.
That's a great argument.
Yes.
If they were perfect, then that is a great argument.
That would be a great argument. So there's ways you – I would agree with you it's a problem, but there's ways of making it compatible. What was your second point?
Second point is Earth existed before other heavenly bodies.
Nope.
Now, I know – you and I have talked in the past about Genesis and our different takes on Genesis.
Yes.
And that I know it's a topic for a whole other show, but I'd like if you just shared briefly about it right now.
If you look at Genesis in its original context within the ancient Near East, what Genesis 1 is describing is not material creation. It is describing functional creation. It is describing how God gives things their purpose, how he orders creation. This is how creation was thought of in the ancient Near East. The ancient Near East cultures did not think in terms of how the world materially came into existence.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 1 is not about creation ex nihilo, creation out of nothing. It is about taking what already existed and giving it order and purpose. Therefore, I hold to a literal seven-day creation that took place, and I also believe that the Earth is approximately 13 billion years old.
Okay.
The universe or whatever. So, in other words, I don't believe that the Earth existed first.
So what do you think existed first?
I don't know. That's a question for scientists to answer. I'm cool with whatever science figures out there.
Okay. Hey, I have one more verse here about my last point. Listen to this.
Sir.
Hebrews 9:27-28. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes sacrifice of himself, and comes judgment. I missed a line. Let me start over. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time.
Well, right there in the context, it talks about man. It's talking about human sin.
Where does it say? Where does
just
it say man?
Just as man is appointed to die once, it's speaking in the context of the human fall and the human sin. Yes, it is.
You're totally misreading Scripture.
Aliens show up tomorrow.
Yes.
So we look outside my office window right now, and there's a flying saucer that comes down. And they don't know anything about Jesus. You would have to look at Scripture in these ways in order to make your theology
so
work.
So if they came right now, you're saying we should not share the gospel with them?
I don't know. That's an interesting question.
I mean, do you think that when Jesus called us to go to all the nations, he meant also all
of
the other
This is one
planets?
Of the questions that I would have. If aliens existed, does Christianity have any relevance for them?
I don't think it does.
Does the gospel have any relevance for
it? I don't think it does.
So here would be my point.
Because
with
they would
this.
Have to have their own version, their home planet's Christianity.
Here would be my take on all this, on why I don't think these can be used as definitive arguments against the existence of aliens. If aliens, like I said, we look outside the window and there's a flying saucer coming down, mm-hmm. would you stop being a Christian?
I would not.
Exactly. So your faith must be compatible with the existence of extraterrestrial life.
It really is.
So you would have to reinterpret these verses in the way that I have suggested.
But for tonight, I'm going to give you my argument.
Yeah, that's fine. All I'm saying is that you can't say that the Bible's incompatible with the existence of alien life.
I can't argue it's incompatible.
Exactly.
So I don't think we're even taking opposing views.
No.
But my argument is it's very unlikely. And I think your argument is going to be
it's also very unlikely.
Oh, it is? Oh, shoot.
I agree with you, actually. I'm just offering the counter perspective on what the answer would be.
Can we go back to Genesis for a second?
Yes. So on that one, I disagree with you.
Yeah, I think this is interesting that the Genesis account doesn't describe life, or it does describe life of the plants, the animals, and of course humans being made, but it doesn't tell us anything about life being made on other planets. Don't you think God would have included that in his story for us?
Why? It would just confuse us all and give us a whole bunch of stuff to worry about that we don't need to be worrying about.
Like invasion?
Yeah, I mean, the Bible isn't a comprehensive list of every last thing that was ever created.
True.
It would. So I would say that's a fairly weak argument.
Just a little point I thought I made.
Good point.
Should we move on then to my third point, which you agreed with?
Yes.
That was that Earth was the site of Jesus' death and resurrection.
Yes.
So to make sense of aliens, you would really need to have multiple Jesus incarnations or a reason why Earth is special in the entire universe.
Yep.
And that all other life would have to eventually learn about our story here on Earth.
You could potentially say that more like animal life on other planets, like an alien beast that's non-intelligent in the way that humans are intelligent, would be more compatible.
Hmm. That's interesting. I was going to ask you a question. You know how sometimes we'll hear stories about they're looking for water on Mars or whatnot? Have they yet identified any sort of...
Yeah, they found water.
No, not water. Trace of any sort of life form, like even bacterial, on other planets?
I do not believe so.
I don't believe so either.
But I'm not scientific enough to be able to say for sure.
Yeah, because you hear stories about it a lot, but I couldn't find any evidence online. The source of all information.
Probably not. Yeah, if you can't find it on the internet, you know.
Exactly.
Exactly. The internet's the most reliable source in the galaxy.
So my third point about Jesus, you seem to agree with that. Do you want to add anything on, or should I move on to four?
Well, that's pretty definitive.
It is completely definitive.
I mean, Israel exists in Earth. I will be going there in March.
True. Did you just bring that up just so you could talk about how you're going to Israel?
Yes, I did.
Very nice. Number four, Earth is the centerpiece of the new creation described in Revelation 21.
Well, it says the new heaven and the new earth. And to me, that would include everything, the galaxy, the universe. It's all covered there.
Many people say that heaven actually manifests on Earth. Is that what you think?
Yeah, totally.
So how would that
But there it's talking about the new heavens and the new earth. It means everything.
So that is our eternity.
Saying that creation as a whole is remade. So okay. That includes the universe, other galaxies, solar system.
Eternally, do you think we'll be living here on Earth?
I think that once heaven is reestablished here on Earth, Jesus is going to help us get personal rocket packs and
this is not a real
FTL. No, I'm serious. We'll be able to go to other planets.
Okay.
I totally believe that.
So do you think, let's just say there are aliens. Do you think that in eternity, all of the other planet life forms, I should say, of course, there are other planets. Let's say there is life on other planets.
Yes.
Do you think all of those life forms will have to come and hang out on Earth's eternity?
No, because it's talking about creation being remade as a whole.
So what about them? Where are they going to be?
On their own planets.
In their own version of creation with their own gods?
It's not their own version of creation. It's all the same creation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, their own version of eternity.
It's the same eternity,
but
but it's God. God comes down and is incarnate here, and all of the different Jesuses would all go together.
All just one.
Exactly.
So I guess maybe we could hang out with them then in eternity.
Yeah, totally.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, because we're in the same eternity.
Interesting.
That's just like saying that because you live in Moundsview and I live in Ramsey that we couldn't go. We're just in different parts of eternity.
So we just like walk or fly.
Yeah, it's
or
just teleport. Geography. It's just geography.
Okay. Point taken. That brings me to the conclusion of my opening arguments.
Your opening arguments. I have one issue that you did not bring up that would be a potential problem.
I'm ready here.
Which is the doctrine of Imago Dei.
Ah, yes.
Made in the image of God. If humans are created in the image of God, What would that say about aliens? Are they also created in the image of God?
Well, are you taking image to mean a physical appearance insides?
I mean the insides, but you know, basically, why would God create the exact same creatures but in a slightly different shell?
Why
wouldn't
he?
Maybe he would.
Yeah, I don't think that's a problem at all.
Well, it's something that would have to figure out, though, because it says that humans were created in God's image. So if humans are the hallmark of creation, then what would it mean if there is another race that is also created in the image of God? Would they be just like us but in different shells? Would they reflect a different part of God that we don't know about?
I'd prefer if they look human so they don't freak me out.
Oh, no, that would be creepier.
If they all looked human?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, imagine how it would be like if people came down on a spaceship from another planet and they look exactly like us.
That would be cool.
The Cylons look like us now.
It would be cool because we could be like, oh my gosh, what if we all were from the same place?
What if they were like
ancient humans?
One of us for every alien. So like there's a Ben human
awesome.
And a Matt human or an alien.
Yeah.
That would be so weird.
Like doubles of us on other planets.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Oh my gosh, what if the other planets are the alternate realities? That sometimes when we feel deja vu.
Well, there's a whole other part of this that we haven't considered, which is the multiverse.
What if when we feel deja vu, we're actually having memories downloaded from our other selves on other planets?
What do you mean, what if? I think that's what's going on.
Totally.
Yeah, because if you think about like parallel universe theory, and I know we'll talk about this in a different show.
We have to.
But theoretically, if every choice you make splits off a different universe, then there has to be a universe where the fall never took place.
Technically.
Yes.
Right.
Wild.
Yeah, we should bring that back up later because this is a good topic.
Definitely.
I'd like to hear some of your points.
My arguments for
pro-alien.
The first argument that I have, pro-alien, is taken from the Jodie Foster movie Contact, which isn't that great of a movie. It's kind of boring. But one of the things they say in that movie is if we're all alone, it's an awful big waste of space. Why is the universe so freaking big if there's no extra life out there?
I want to rebut it.
Okay.
But I will let you read through like you gave me the courtesy.
They don't really build on each other.
Let me rebut.
Yeah, you rebut.
I think in God's defense, it's pretty awesome to show that he's showing all of his glory and all his splendor and all of his creation. It doesn't even, it shows us how special we are to him by the fact that there's all the stuff that he has created.
I would agree.
And here we are on this small, meaningless planet that he made meaningful.
Yes. I would not disagree with that explanation.
Thank you.
My second point is maybe a bit more interesting.
Good.
Why would we assume that an infinitely creative God would limit creatures made in his image to only humans?
Mm-hmm. Why would we assume?
I mean, God is infinitely creative. He is infinitely wise. He could figure out answers to all of these problems and make it all fit together perfectly. Why would a God who is so creative and is so relational and wants creatures who are made in his image to have relationship with him limit it to just humans, especially after we drove the car into a ditch so quickly?
You're talking about the fall?
Yeah.
Interesting. Why would he limit it to humans? A part of me wants to say, maybe, there's no reason for him to limit to humans. Unless he wanted to for whatever reason.
Exactly.
Next.
Okay, so you're agreeing with me.
I can't really argue with that.
There's no rebuttal.
That actually goes along with your first point in the sense that why would God
make all this stuff and not fill it up?
Yeah, I mean, no, not just that. It's he can make anything. He can show his glory in any way. Why would he just make one version of his awesomeness?
Yeah.
So I think exactly. It's a good point.
And then my final point in favor would be to ask this question. Are our doubts about the existence of alien life really a result of legitimate problems, or could they be a result of human arrogance and human sin, that we as humans tend to be fairly prideful? We think that everything's about us. The world revolves around us. Are we just living out the results of our sinful fallen nature by saying that it's unlikely that aliens exist?
That's interesting because we want to think we're the most important.
Exactly.
Everything's about us.
God chose just us. You know, it's all about us. The focus is right here. Mm-hmm. Is that just human arrogance coming into play?
That's a good point. You know what else I was thinking? What if the reason we're prone to not believe nowadays is because it's looked upon as silly to think of such a thing? you know, what if we're being manipulated
by, not by me,
not by you, but we're being manipulated by, you know, media and people just saying, what, you can't believe in UFOs?
Yeah,
it's crazy. Actually, totally. I have an interesting story that I found while I was researching.
Let me hear it.
Did you know that before elected president, Jimmy Carter,
oh yeah,
said that he saw a UFO?
Yeah.
And did you also know that in the time where he was running for president, he actually said that if elected, he will disclose any information that America has about aliens and UFOs?
Well, Jimmy Carter is an idiot and was a disastrous president.
Well, wait a second. I mean, aside from
that, doesn't surprise me that he would make stupid statements.
Aside from what you think about his politics, he is a Christian.
Yes. So, and he was a disastrous president and is an idiot.
We should really. Okay. I hear you. I hear you saying he's
this
an idiot.
This has been the politics segment on the Life Report.
Aren't we supposed
to? Not the Life Report. The Sci-Fi Christian.
Aren't we supposed to be loving to people, especially Christians?
If I knew him personally and was personally his brother in Christ and we had a relationship, absolutely.
You are his brother in
Christ. No, but I'm talking about if we had a personal connection, but as a public figure out there and the things that he says publicly, he puts himself out there as a public figure, absolutely he's putting himself out to be ridiculed and called a fool.
He's helping with Habitat for Humanity.
It's just a great charity.
Yeah.
I'm talking about his politics and his political statements. The man is a fool was a disastrous president.
Are you telling me that if he came here right now, you would tell him that to his face?
No, because there's a difference between interacting with somebody individually and reacting as a citizen to a public figure and his statements in public.
You're talking about him behind his back online.
He's the one who goes out in the news and makes a fool out of himself.
What did he say recently that was dumb?
Oh, he just he was extremely critical of the Bush administration, which is fine, but I think it's disgraceful for former presidents to criticize the current member in office. That's one thing I admire about George W. is that he has chosen not to criticize Barack Obama, and I think that is a good thing.
George Bush, also a Christian. They should.
Yes.
Jimmy Carter should have been following.
That's one thing I don't admire about Dick Cheney, that he has gone out and criticized the Obama administration. Former administration should not do that.
Jimmy Carter should be taking the Sci-Fi Christian's advice and not being mean to other Christians.
Exactly.
Can't we all just love each other?
Sure, but my point is there's a difference between loving somebody as an individual, if you know them personally, mm-hmm. and responding to somebody who is a public figure and makes statements in the press.
I hear you.
Yeah. They're a huge difference, because I'm not talking about him as a man. I'm talking about him as a public figure. Big difference.
So the end of the story is he never disclosed any information about UFOs or aliens, which means either that information doesn't exist or they got to him.
Probably got to him.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter, weak-minded.
No, I mean, conspiracy.
They used a Jedi mind trick.
It might have been a conspiracy.
Because they only work on the weak-minded.
Ooh, nice one.
Take that, Jimmy Carter.
Okay, I will let you continue with your points.
Okay, that's my last point.
Great. So, I had something interesting that came up also that I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
In your studies, did you see anything about the Nephilim?
No, but I know a little bit about them, and there's an X-Files episode on them.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, the Nephilim, I should have had it open here, but if you look at Genesis 6:4, there's an interesting passage that really it appears that they're probably just talking about giants or, you know, people that are just simply human. But some people have taken it to mean that this this race described in Genesis 6:4 is either alien or possibly fallen angels. It says in Genesis 6:4, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. They were the mighty men who were...
What does came in mean?
It means they married them and had relations, I think.
So that's a fairly literal interpretation of that verse there you got, Matt.
So it says, they were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. So some people are saying that maybe aliens came, slept with humans, and made these Nephilim, which were giants.
That would be so cool.
That would be interesting. But it's my interpretation of that is it's just tall people like Goliath.
Yeah, probably.
But there is a whole book series about, it's fiction, but it's about how the Nephilim were aliens.
I think the X-Files take was that they were demons.
Yeah, I think that's a fair take.
Yeah.
But not true.
Could be. I mean, that's one possible theory is that the Nephilim are demons.
But it can't be, really, from a biblical point of view.
Why not?
Because demons can't manifest physical bodies.
How do you know that?
They're spiritual beings.
How do you know they can't manifest physical bodies?
What makes you think that they can?
What makes you think they can't?
I think they can't because even though angels can with God's authority,
yes,
demons are not given the same privileges as angels.
They seem to have quite a bit of free reign here on earth right now.
Yeah, they're able to affect things spiritually, but you're to jump to saying that just because they have power here that they can manifest physically, you're in a whole new realm.
But what I'm saying is that it's not incompatible with what's in the Bible.
I think it is incompatible. And if you want,
show me a verse.
If you want to talk about that later, I could prepare this message.
Should be another topic.
Yeah, I feel strongly that demons cannot manifest physical bodies.
I would maybe agree in principle, but I think it would be incorrect to say that would be incompatible with the Bible.
Let's definitely take it up later because I would need to do some research.
Definitely.
So if there are aliens, let's just say they are. Let's talk about some different ways that they could potentially access the gospel. Ben, do you have any potential ideas on how this is possible?
I'd like to hear yours first, Matt.
Well, the first one that came to my mind is that possibly if they did have advanced technology, they could be monitoring Earth. Therefore, they could have witnessed the life of Jesus, heard the whole story, and could be preaching it on their home planet.
That would seem unlikely to me.
Why is that?
Because if they're monitoring Earth, likely they are considering us to be inferior beings.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this super advanced technology, and why would they think, oh, this guy was walking around Judea is somebody who we should follow?
What if they saw him die and come back to life?
Well, that could be interesting, but maybe that's standard technology and it doesn't impress them.
Right, but I just don't... I mean, sure, maybe it's their technology in... you know, whatever planet they're from, but I don't think I can agree with that. If they saw somebody come back to life, if they do think that we're, you know, dull, mundane, small-time creatures, if they actually saw one of us die and be resurrected, it would be tough for them to ignore that, don't you think?
It would be tough to ignore, but not impossible. I mean, you don't know. This is all theoretical. So what I'm saying is that theoretically, resurrection technology could be standard for the alien species.
So what would you say then are some ways that aliens could get the gospel?
I think it's extremely unlikely. I think that if there are aliens, for them to find the gospel, what would have to be happening is that God would have to be somehow having a second incarnation somewhere, and that their story is different than our story. I think the gospel is a human story. I don't think it would have relevance for alien cultures.
I think that's really true because of what we've talked about how Earth is special in the Bible, but maybe it's the story for us humans.
Yes, exactly. So, I want to ask you, Matt, what do you actually believe about aliens?
As much as I would love it if aliens did exist, I am prone to believe they do not. I know that we've said that the Bible makes no explicit statements as to the existence or non-existence of extraterrestrial life. But even with that being said, I don't believe it would be true, even though it would be awesome. And I'll follow up with this. If it is true, I don't think that we would ever connect. Our species would never meet.
Most likely.
Only in eternity.
Yeah, I would agree with you that aliens likely do not exist. And I have a couple reasons why. First, I don't believe there's any basis, and I'm not even just speaking theologically, I'm speaking just practically in terms of scientific discovery. There's no basis to say they actually do exist. In terms of intelligent life in the universe, if we found one other occurrence of intelligent life, mm-hmm. that would seem to suggest a widespread occurrence of life throughout the galaxy. But when there's only one, mm-hmm. one occurrence doesn't suggest a pattern. It suggests uniqueness. Mm-hmm. Until we have found something else and until we find some evidence that suggests that there's a larger pattern of life in the galaxy, there's no practical reason to actually believe that there is.
That's a good point.
And then I think that was the only point I had.
Nice work. But, I mean, it's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, because sometimes what you'll run into is scientific theories that run a whole bunch of probabilities and say with X number of planets and X number of galaxies, it's just inevitable that there must be life out there. And the rebuttal I would take is that no, because there is only one occurrence, and that doesn't suggest a pattern. That suggests uniqueness.
Would your view that it's unlikely that aliens exist change? I mean, I'm talking about, I should say, intelligent life elsewhere. Would it change if we found on some other planet life, even if it was in a unintelligent form, just some sort of bacteria or something that was living?
Not bacteria. It would have to be something slightly more advanced than that.
Like a puppy?
Yeah.
Okay.
If we found alien animals,
yeah,
then I would say, okay, it's likely that there is intelligent life in the galaxy.
Even animals on Earth, we don't consider them intelligent because they can't talk.
No.
But they have intelligence.
Yes.
So,
well, we're talking human-level intelligence.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, so I think if we found any life, period, it would really have to... I think it would have to be some sort of intelligent life. I wouldn't just accept any old spider alien.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that if you found spider aliens, that would suggest the likelihood of there being intelligent life would have to go up dramatically at that point,
mm-hmm.
in terms of just probabilities, because that suggests that we have found life on other planets.
Well, I guess that really wraps up our debate.
But let me ask you this. One final question to cover in this debate.
Okay.
We've talked about some biblical arguments for and against. We've talked about what we actually believe. But because the title of our episode is I Want to Believe, Matt Anderson, what do you want to believe?
I want to believe that they exist.
Score!
High five across the room. That would be awesome. But if that is true, I would want us to also be able to meet them. And I don't see that being likely. Like I said earlier, even if God has allowed there to be, or I shouldn't say allowed, say God did create multiple humanoid intelligent life forms on other planets, and he did have multiple incarnations of a savior messiah figure, I don't think there'd be a way for our two species to come together on this side of eternity. I think we would most likely meet, and I mean, actually, that really opens up a whole new interesting thing if you think about eternity.
Yes.
Because, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, so boring. What are we going to do in heaven forever?
Yeah.
What if we explore all these new places and learn all these stories that we never heard of before?
That would be pretty sweet.
I just instantly got excited.
Do you have a favorite fictional alien race?
Oh, my gosh. I did not plan. I didn't prepare
anything. Neither did I. That just occurred to me.
What? How about this? Can we... I almost spoiled the end of Battlestar, but... I won't do that.
Those ones are pretty cool.
I like that. I like that theory. You know what I would like? I would like it if they were like us. And I mean, not all aliens, but if we did meet some that were similar to us, that maybe they helped build the pyramids or something.
So you're into the Stargate aliens.
I never saw Stargate, the movie or the TV show.
Not that great.
But it would be cool if... it would be cool if I wasn't a Christian to believe that where we came from as humans is from, we were some colony of a distant race, and eventually they're going to come back and be like, hey, you're our kids.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I don't actually believe this, so don't anybody get worried.
I know. Just like I said, I don't believe that.
I am going to, in the next couple of weeks, work up an argument and try and argue that from a biblical perspective.
That we are alien kids.
That would be compatible with the Bible. I'm going to try and prove that it's at least theoretically compatible.
I'm interested by this, but what motivates you to do that?
Because one of the things that motivates me is one of the questions I asked you earlier is, if aliens showed up right now, would you stop believing in the scriptures?
Yeah.
So I like to do thought experiments like that.
Mm-hmm.
If we found this out and it was an indisputable fact, would you have to chuck your Bible and abandon your faith?
You never answered that question, I don't think, for yourself, did you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I agree with you that no way I would abandon my faith. And I believe Christianity is completely compatible. We'd have to change our view of a few verses, and it would broaden our understanding. But I think there's a very small number of things that are 100% required.
You know, as we head towards the wrap-up of this show, I think what you said is really important earlier about how...
Well, we still got one more thing we got to cover.
Yeah, I know, but I just want to say this for the last thing, that... The Bible has a ton of information that's really powerful and important for our lives, but it does not have everything. All of God's knowledge is not in this book.
Yeah.
And everything he's ever done is not in this book.
Yes.
Even if you just look at the life of Jesus, the end of, is it Luke or John says...
end of John.
Yeah, if all the things that Jesus did were written down, there wouldn't be enough room in the world for all the books that would be written about that. So... In conclusion, it's definitely possible, but unlikely.
And this is my point with a whole bunch of topics, that we look at stuff and we say, oh, well, we couldn't be descended from another alien race because that's not compatible with the Bible. Well, you don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be, and I'm going to prove that it would be.
All right, good.
And even like we talked about some of the creationism stuff earlier, and that would maybe be a good life report topic sometime for our other show. that one of my arguments against young Earth, people who are so adamant about it, is, okay, well, all the evidence right now in terms of science pretty much points towards old Earth. Mm-hmm. And so let's just say that it becomes 100% indisputable. Are you going to chuck your Bible? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of those people are making arguments that old Earth is completely incompatible with biblical Christianity. Well, if you really believe that, I think that if you're honestly open to the scientific evidence, you're kind of out of luck.
Yeah, I would love to talk about that.
You're going to be talking about it because the class you just started for seminary, I guarantee you, is going to cover that.
The class I'm starting on Thursday?
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Good. So should we talk about that here on the Sci-Fi Christian, or should we talk about it on the Life Report?
Oh, we'd have to figure out a sci-fi theme to it. It doesn't really have much of one. Should we transition then into our final segment?
Only if you don't use the X-File sign again.
Oh, I don't have... Okay, here's what I'll do instead.
It's a trap!
That one works.
Thank you.
Admiral Akbar always works for transition. So, Matt, we have a couple of reviews that we're going to be doing this week.
Yeah, one is special for online video viewing only.
And the other one's also special for online viewing.
Oh, really? I thought we were going to do the... Okay, so I guess we should tell... This Tuesday, me and Ben and some other friends, Daniel and possibly Ryan, are going to go see The Green Hornet.
Yes, and we will be reviewing it via video immediately after we see the movie.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So it will not be an episode. It'll just be a movie.
We'll have a short review, and then later today, we'll be doing a video review of Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
You know, I do want to do whole episodes that are movie reviews, but maybe we should save it for the ones that have some pretty big theological implications.
Yes. If we walk out of The Green Hornet and it completely changes our lives, we'll be doing an entire episode on it.
For example, if we would have...
That seems unlikely.
If we would have seen The Matrix, we could not do an instant movie review. We'd have to do an episode.
Or we could even do like a movie review that's just covers did we like the movie or not, 3 stars, whatever.
Or like when Avengers comes out, that's going to be a whole episode for me.
That's going to be like a month of episodes, dude.
No, not really a month. It'll be good.
We'll talk about nothing but the Avengers.
Can we talk real quickly about something that we talked about last week?
Yes.
So do you remember, I don't remember what my number was, maybe it was number 3 on my list of top 5 all-time favorite things was a tie between Spider-Man and Batman.
Yes.
I failed to mention a really crucial reason why I liked Batman.
Which is?
The 60s TV show.
No.
Batman. Okay, so when I was growing up, I...
It's not Batman.
Lived with my grandparents, and I would often be watching TV, you know, in the days before I was in elementary school, and they would play old episodes of the Batman 60s show. And of course, it's not the awesome Batman that we have now with The Dark Knight, but this show... I also mentioned that the X-Men cartoon was one of the first serialized shows I liked back then, but the old Batman show was serialized in more like 2-part sections. So it'd be like, come back next time to see what happens. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Here's my argument against the Batman 60 show.
Let me just keep saying. It was awesome. They had great villains, great characters. It was comedic. It was meant to be campy. They knew what they were doing.
That's the problem.
It wasn't meant to be taken seriously. It was meant to be fun.
But here's what... I agree with you. The show, for what it was okay. Yeah. The reason I do not like it and cannot approve of it is that it completely ruined Batman for several decades.
Yeah, one interesting thing is I would love to own it on DVD, but they refused to release it. But there's some different rights issues, but also because they have Batman right now established as a dark, almost realistic character. To bring this old show back would probably hurt that image. But also, I believe, let me try to remember how this goes. Warner Brothers right now owns the rights to Batman. But that show was done by, I think, 20th Century Fox.
Maybe.
And so there's probably some issues there also. Well, I could be wrong about that.
My issue with it is that when Batman was begun as a character in the 40s, he was a very dark character. Mm-hmm. The comics don't seem dark by today's standards, but they were.
He killed people in some of the early episodes. Yeah. Or early books.
Yeah, it was a very dark comic book at the beginning. The 60s show came along, and it became campy, and Batman comics for the next 20 years were super campy and ridiculous, and the character was a joke for 2 decades.
You're talking about the Silver Age of comics, and all comics were kind of silly at that time.
But Batman was especially affected by this.
Speaking of science fiction...
It neutered Batman for 2 decades.
Batman, if you like science fiction, Batman of the Silver Age was really big-time science fiction.
Yeah. Joke.
I haven't read those.
And it wasn't until Frank Miller came along and wrote The Dark Knight Returns, which is one of the greatest graphic novels ever written, that Batman was rescued from what the 60s show did to him.
So I do like that show. Secondly, the other half of my tie was Spider-Man.
Yes.
And yes, I do like Spider-Man, but have you ever heard of the Scarlet Spider?
Yes. Probably from you.
Oh, do you want to tell the audience who he is?
It was like an alternate Spider-Man thing.
No, he's the clone of Spider-Man.
Yeah, the clone.
So in the 90s, when I was a big-time comic book reader, the Scarlet Spider appeared, and he would probably be one of my favorite superheroes if he had not died.
Yeah.
I like him because not a lot of people know him, and he can be like my favorite that no one else likes as much.
Good call.
So shout out to the Scarlet Spider. If you like him out there, write in to Matt at the Sci-Fi Christian Podcast.
It's no, just sci-fi.
Sci-fi
you don't
Christian.
Even know our website.
SciFiChristianPodcast.com.
So just to another thing from last show, I wanted to throw out a couple of runners up that I forgot.
Oh, okay, good.
First one was reminded to me by listener James, and he brought up Gattaca, which is one of my all-time favorite sci-fi movies. I am ashamed of myself for forgetting it. Mm-hmm. It is a great, great film. You have to see it. And then two others that I thought of are the book Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card.
That's a good one.
I love that book. Sci-fi classic, okay. As well as its sequel, Speaker for the Dead.
Okay.
Great, great books. And then Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie. And you know what?
That's great.
Michel Gondry, the director of that, is the director of The Green Hornet.
I did know that.
So I'm excited for The Green Hornet for that reason as well.
Oh, one more thing about The Scarlet Spider, I must say.
All right.
This is important. Last night, my sister gave me part of my Christmas present 2 weeks late because she's been waiting for it to be mailed to her.
Yes.
And guess what? It was old comic books from around the 90s, I don't know when, that outlined the origin story of the Scarlet Spider that I never owned before.
So when you finish reading them, you can do a review for us.
Wasn't that a thoughtful gift? Probably the only person in the world that knows I like the Scarlet Spider is my sister.
It was a great gift.
Except for now everybody listening online.
Yes. All of you audience are privy to this personal information.
So I will do a mini review of The Lost Years featuring...
Excellent.
Now known as Ben Reilly, the Scarlet Spider. Also, he was Spider-Man for a while.
We got a lot of exciting stuff coming up this week.
Review of Scott Pilgrim, review of Green Hornet. And next week, our topic is, Ben?
We have not decided yet.
Correct.
TBD.
We'll get back to you on that.
But I've got a couple ideas. So we got some good stuff coming up for you.
Okay.
Well, Matt, this has been an awesome conversation.
I really enjoyed this debate.
I want to believe.
I want to believe also, Ben.
And that's it for now, then.
I guess we'll see you all next week. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians.
Brought to you by the Rebel Underground.
Signing off.